Blog Talk Radio.
Negative things in your life can make you think that your dreams are impossible and that you'll never be able to overcome them. You have to deal with all kinds of things. Today, your past, regrets, all those things. You're even dealing with drugs, alcohol, maybe teenage pregnancy, peer pressure, violence. I don't know. You may be dealing with the thoughts of suicide, but I want to tell you something. If you don't believe in yourself, who else will? God has a plan for you.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Transformational Thursdays with Cynthia and Friends. I am so grateful to have you on the line, and I pray that you have had a wonderful week so far. And I pray that whatever you hear on today will help you to be a better sister or brother in Christ, and that your life becomes transformed. And as I begin every show, I'm going to open it up with a prayer, and then I will bring on my wonderful co-host. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you for another day to give you the glory and the honor which is due your name. And Lord, I ask you right now that you bless everyone that is listening on today and those that will listen when it is archived on the things that can happen for them in their lives if they would just become the phenomenal women that you have asked them to become, and they begin to live out the gifts that you have given them. So on today, I ask you to bless me as well as my co-host, Stephanie, that we impart some words of wisdom on today to someone who will be listening, whether it is a daughter or a son of yours, God. I'm asking you just to bless us to be a blessing to them. And Lord, we will never fail to give you the glory, honor, and the praise in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And on today, I have the honor of having on my show this week as my co-host, Stephanie Antoine. She is the program manager, and she is going to be hosting an event on September the 19th, 2017. And it is called the Steps Towards Becoming a Phenomenal Woman Women's Conference. And I am so happy to be talking about this because I think this is so necessary. I think all women are phenomenal in their own way, but I believe that we all could use some help to go a step further. And so I'm going to bring on to the set right now, Stephanie.
Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Just one moment. I always bring on people with a clap because I always need it. Thank you so much for allowing me to have you on my show tonight.
Yes, it is such a blessing.
So can you give everybody an overview of what the conference is going to be about?
Absolutely. Wow, this is literally my baby, and I've been saying this for the past few weeks. It was kind of thrown into my lap by my supervisor at work. From the time that I've been in the field that I've been in, the month of September will make 6 years, actually. I came in with a strong passion for working with women, and everyone that I work with knows that and continues to see that. So once we received this grant, we have we were funded through an organization called VIVE, and they gave us a certain amount of money. And with that amount of money, they told us that we can do whatever we want with it. So my supervisor approached me, and she let me know that we have this certain amount of money. And she goes, you know, you're very good with working with women. I think that you should go ahead and try to host a women's conference, which I was up for doing. However, I didn't know where to start, but I prayed on it a little bit. I spoke to a few people. I started to reach out to a few people and realized that I had everything that I needed right within my network already. So it worked out perfectly. It's going to be on Tuesday, September 19th. What's crazy about that date, I just realized this week that that exact date is my 6-year anniversary on my job. So I'm hosting the event on my anniversary. So that's going to be my huge celebration. I feel like this is going to be a big thing. It's an event only for women. Sorry, gentlemen. I'll try to host something for you in the future, the near future, hopefully, if funds are available. It's going to be at 55 Ludlow Street in Newark. And a lot of people are asking me, why did I choose that location? Originally, I chose Rutgers University, and after some back and forth, it didn't work out, which is perfectly fine because the location that I'm hosting it at is right in the heart of Newark, and it's in a site where we need to reach that group of people. It's a lot of sex workers out there. It's a lot of people who are dealing with substance abuse, and for some reason, I have a big heart for people like that. I feel like people who are dealing with issues when it comes to substance abuse and sex work are overlooked. So I kind of gravitate towards them to let them know that, you know, you matter. And if you need assistance, I don't have much, but I can help as much as possible, even if it's just, you know, a few words of encouragement. So my hopes is that they do come out to this event. Prior to the event, we're going to go into that area in order to pass out some flyers and to do some outreach.
So
back to the event. Tuesday, September 19th, 2017, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. I have a panel of phenomenal women who are going to come out and basically talk about the struggles that they've had to encounter throughout life and how they overcame those struggles and are basically in the positions where they are now. And one of the people who I would like to highlight, I'm not going to say her name, I would like for you all to come out and meet her yourselves, but she's legally blind, and she has her own nonprofit organization, and she is doing great things in this organization and has even invited me to come out to dance with the members of her organization, and it was such a blessing to go out there and dance with people who are legally blind. Like, we overlook them a lot, but you can only imagine the things that they can do and say and how they move people. So I'm excited that she's going to be on the panel. We have a whole bunch of workshops set up from domestic violence. I feel that that's very important. As women, a lot of us suffer in silence, especially with relationships and domestic violence. So I have a professional that's coming out and will speak to us about domestic violence and where we can seek the help that we need for that. We also have emotional health. That's where you come on in. I'm excited that you accepted my invitation to speak to the women, and I'm really excited about hearing what you have to say. I'm going to bounce around to each workshop, but after reading your book, like, I'm really curious as to what you're going to bring to the conference.
Okay.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to you bringing your other book as well, Leah. I need to purchase that one. I have Know You're Crazy, Accept You're Crazy. I have that one, but I need to purchase Leah now. I already finished this first book. I'm ready to move on to the next one.
Okay. All right. Well, I know for me, I'm excited about it, and I was going to go one way, but then after reading, and I am so sorry, I did not read the description, so let me read the description first, as you described some things, but let me read the description first to everybody of what this women's conference is going to be about. It's a short description, but I think it is so poignant to what we need to have happen for women in this day and age. The description is, as women, we do not always operate in our full potential. We may feel that we are inadequate according to societal expectations. I'm sorry, I may have said that wrong. Or maybe we just lack the motivation to want and to do more. The steps towards becoming a phenomenal woman is a one-day conference, which is set up to equip you with the necessary tools to become a better version of you despite any obstacles that have been or are currently in the way. Keynote speakers, she's already spoke of one, panel of phenomenal women, breakout sessions, giveaways, raffles, networking, free food, and much more. Workshop topics will be self-esteem, which I think every woman, I don't care where you are, every woman has some type of self-esteem issue. Emotional health, which is something I will be talking about. Mental health. Financial health, which I know a lot of women need financial health.
Yeah.
Sexual health. And catch that word, health. We're not talking about financial issues or mental issues or sexual issues. We're saying health because I think a lot of people miss that. We may not realize it, but these play a very vital and significant part of our lives. This is our health we're dealing with. And so I thought it was so important that you put that as the workshop topics. Medical health care, hair care, and skin care. There is parking on the site. Breakfast and lunch will be provided. Registration and breakfast begins at 9 a.m. Please, I always say this, try to get there a little early. All for free. This is all free for you. So if you know a woman, this is an all-women's conference. Please do not bring your husband, your boyfriend, any of them. But if you have a girlfriend, bring her. If you have a mother, bring her. If you have a niece, bring her. If you have a cousin, bring her. Your bestie, your frenemies, bring all of them to this conference. I know it's on a Tuesday. I know a lot of people have said, oh, it's a Tuesday. It's a little difficult for me. No one's saying you have to stick your head in, show some support. It would be greatly appreciated. And for any information, you can always contact Stephanie. I do have her contact information, and I will post it up on Facebook. So that you can be a part of this, because to me, I think this is going to be so relevant and so needful. And I like the fact that you, in the area that you say that it's going to be in, is that near Freeland Heisen Avenue?
Yes, it is. It's right behind Freeland Heisen Avenue.
Okay, okay. I don't know what day you're going out. I don't know what day you're going out to hand out your flyers or whatever, but if you need help with that, could you just let me know? I would love to go out and support you on that end also.
Thank you so much. I will let you
handing out flyers and stuff and letting the women know that, you know, they could stop on in, because I think sometimes women see when you're not in your best of health, and you see what you think is a healthy woman, a lot of times women, we get intimidated by what we consider healthy. And not realizing that that woman that you think is healthy actually has her own issues that she's dealing with. She just knows how to dress it up a little better. So to reach out to women who right now are not in their most healthiest spot is where every woman should be right now in our lives, is reaching out, especially if we made it in an era, reaching out and, you know, reaching out and touching someone else and saying, you know what, come in this direction. I can be a help to you. I'm not saying I'm going to cure your problems, but I can give you some information that might be helpful.
Yes. And I like the fact that you said, you know, some people just know how to dress it up well. We all have issues. And it's all a matter of how we overcome those issues and if whether or not we're willing to seek the assistance that's needed for those issues. So with this conference, I'm hoping that every woman that attends leaves with a little piece of information in order to help them get beyond whatever issues that they're dealing with. They're not going to get the fix that they need right then and there, but just a little piece to get them, help them take the next step to where they need to be.
Definitely. And I think that in educating women on these various issues is so important, because I think a lot of times we as women, especially those who have jobs, who are working, supporting our families, we may be struggling a little bit, but, you know, we feel like we're supporting our families or what have you. We feel like we don't deal with those issues as badly as maybe as a woman who's not in that same situation. And I think that, and I said this before and I'll say it again, every woman deals with self-esteem issues or self-esteem health in one way or another. And so it may be you're having an issue with your mental health that you have not addressed, and that affects your self-esteem. If you're not dealing with your financial health, that affects your self-esteem. If you're having issues with your sexual health, whether that is that you know you have a sexually transmitted disease and you haven't told anybody, or you're engaging in a relationship that is sexually abusive, that is going to affect your self-esteem. And if you don't think that you're pretty enough, you know, my skin doesn't look like your skin, my hair doesn't look like your hair. And so you start, all these things play into our self-esteem health. And so I think that this is beautiful that you guys have decided to put some money towards helping, especially work area, doing a conference that could actually help some women who will come out.
Yes. And at this conference, you're going to see women from all different walks of life, women of different ages, women of different complexions. And the mistake that we make as women is we're constantly comparing ourselves to the next person. not realizing that we each are different. We're each unique. And it's not our position to compare. Like, you know, we just have to accept ourselves for how we are. And sometimes when we're comparing ourselves to the next person, we don't realize what that person's battle is. You know, this person may look a certain way, or this person may have it, quote unquote, going on, but on the inside, they're dealing with their own issues. They're dealing with their own struggles. So we just have to get ourselves out of that position to where we're constantly comparing. And as a result of comparing, we're missing out on the goodness that we have on the inside of ourselves.
Absolutely. Because I think that when we try to say, you know, I know that we all say, you know, oh, we're all sisters. But even as sisters, I'm a different sister. And,
yeah.
And so we all are different. We all come here with different gifts. And if I never really find out what my gift is, and if I'm constantly looking at your gift and assuming that your gift and my gift are the same, I may make the mistake of not ever really utilizing the gift that was given to me to make a better world for all of us. Because
mm-hmm.
my gift is only good if I actually use it. So if I never use the gift, even though it's already in me, and a lot of us don't believe it's already in us, no, you're born with it, it's already in you. But if you never use it, if you never showcase it, if you never put it out there for that one person or the million people that you're supposed to show it to, if you never put it out there, it can never grow. And so we cannot look at one another and go, I want to be like her. No, I admire her, but I got to be me.
Yes. I like the way you put that.
Because I love a lot of women. I do. I love a lot of my sisters. I think they're wonderful. But I can only be me. Cynthia, and I have my own gifts that I have to use and utilize. So if I never do that, no matter how much I think, Sister so-and-so, I'll use you. And no matter how much I think Stephanie is so great and she is doing that, if I never showcase my stuff, as much as Stephanie is great, I'm showing less than myself. And a lot of times mm-hmm. that will play into self-esteem issues for us, that we start to look down on ourselves and we start looking at other people and we think they're better than us, not realizing, no, we're all the same.
And you're also wasting time as well. You're wasting time that to be using to put forth the effort to get to where you need to be.
Absolutely. We all have there is something that we all need to do. There are people that we all need to affect. And so if you spend so much time looking in the mirror and saying it to yourself in your mind, because a lot of us would say, oh, I'm not looking in the mirror. Yeah, you are. If you're standing in place and you never do what mm-hmm. you're supposed to do, figuratively, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So in order to become a phenomenal woman, and whatever that may be, everybody's not going to be on center stage all the time. Because you know why? Because we all can't fit there. There has to be somebody who works the camera. There has to be somebody that does the lights. There has to be somebody who sits people down. There has to be somebody in the concession stand to serve the food. There have to be people that make the food. So if we're all in position, this could go off really great. But if everybody's trying to be on the stage and be the center person, nothing gets done.
You're right.
The mic's never going to come on.
Right. So it's all about playing our positions.
Yes. So can you tell us a little bit about what you do at your foundation?
Can I give a journey? Can I give you a walk through my journey these past 6 years of what it's been like
Absolutely.
At high school?
Absolutely.
Yay. Thank you for allowing me to share. I came into high 6 years, so that's 2011. Oh, my gosh. So 2011, September 2011, I was offered the position to work initially to work with youth. And working with the youth, this was going into high schools and basically educating youth on sexual health and safe sex practices and how to present themselves from becoming infected with STIs and the HIV virus. Upon my first week of being there, I went back to my supervisor and said, look, I enjoy what I do, but I don't think I can do this anymore. It was very difficult and challenging for me because I found that not too long ago, I was in the same place where a lot of those youth were. However, I wasn't operating the same way. Like at the age of 13 and 14, I wasn't thinking about having sex and I wasn't thinking about being pregnant and I wasn't coming back with STIs. So seeing that that was what I was encountered with and the fact that they didn't want to do anything about it and they had the I don't care attitude and a lot of them were mad at me and who are you to tell me this and you need to leave. Everyone that comes here is telling us the same thing. You're not any different. It was very challenging because I really wanted to go there and make a difference, but they challenged me to the point where I didn't want to be there. But I stuck it out. After a year, I moved on to working with women. And I found that working with women, that's when I was really in my passion. And that's when I began working with women on self-esteem issues and coping mechanisms and effective communication skills when it comes to communicating with people in our everyday lives. And in doing that, I found that it was very helpful for me as well. I never thought that helping other people would help with my personal growth. As I was helping women, I found that, you know, I was taking certain things back home for myself and using it in my personal life. So this job has really been a blessing for me because everything that I've helped other people with, I've been able to bring it back to my personal life. Moved on to becoming a supervisor and supervising my team who is working people out in the community, women, children, basically making sure that they keep themselves safe and not become infected. And now as a prevention program manager, I have different programs that I'm overseeing, but mostly when it comes to screening people for STIs and HIV, we go out into the community, mostly high-risk areas within Essex County. So we're in Newark, we're in Irvington, we're in East Orange, and we're going to places that the average person wouldn't feel comfortable going. You know, we walk into these places, we go sometimes late at night, and we approach people and we speak to them about their health and we let them know that, you know, we're here and we are willing to assist you as long as you're willing to give us the opportunity to do so. And in doing so, I feel that we save lives on a daily basis. I mean, we're screening people for HIV and in within 20 minutes, we're letting them know whether they're HIV negative or positive. So within 20 minutes, you know your status. And if you come back positive, it's not the end of the world. We help to link people into care as well. So I feel that, you know, my job can be a bit hectic at times, but at the same time, it's very rewarding to me just to know that on a daily basis, we're saving people's lives.
And that is so wonderful. And I am always affected by HIV and AIDS. My sister was diagnosed so many years ago with AIDS, and she eventually wound up dying, not because of AIDS, but other reasons. But having to have having a family member that was diagnosed with full-blown AIDS, who honestly, to most people, would have thought, because my sister at the same time was a drug user at the time, we thought she might lose her life early. But my sister lived a long life, making sure that her child was learning what it was, getting the correct information, being able to make it and survive. And even though she wound up dying, it wasn't because of the fact that she had AIDS. And I think that is something that people need to understand and realize, getting that diagnosis, the doctor saying to you that you have HIV or that you have AIDS, does not necessarily mean that that is a death sentence. It,
correct.
It is your opportunity to now get the best possible care you can get so that you can prolong your life. And in, if possible, be able to reach out to other people and say to them, you know, if that's your thing, not everybody feels comfortable, but at least let other people know who you're comfortable with talking with. Some people talk to their family, they'll never step outside their door and talk about it. Some people will never talk about it. They'll never say, you know, that's what I have. They will take care of themselves, but they'll never tell you that they had HIV or AIDS. But even just getting yourself healthy, getting yourself strong is a great way of helping your family and society as a whole. And so I, for me, this has been one of those things that I honestly support 100%. Because I think that especially within a Black and a Hispanic community, we don't talk about it enough. We don't deal with it enough. We don't really shed light on it. One of those things that's put in the back of our minds, and sometimes not even the back of our minds, we don't even think about it. And when it comes out, we act like, oh, my gosh, I'm so shocked. You know, and it's like, why are you shocked? Like, this has been around a little too long for you now to be acting like you've never heard of it before. Like, if we're not talking about it, that means you're not doing anything about it. And I think that a lot of people are walking around here who've never been tested. Like, I'm not talking about, you know, young people. I'm talking about there are some grown folks, some senior citizens, some 50s and 40s and 30-year-olds who have never, ever been tested for HIV, and to you, you should be ashamed of yourself because you should get tested. I still believe that should be mandatory, but you should be tested.
Unfortunately, it is not. And as a bonus, I didn't even put this on the Eventbrite description page, but we will actually have 3 mobile units outside the day of the conference doing free HIV screening. So every woman that attends the conference on that day has the opportunity to be screened for HIV if you're open to it, and you will get your results within 20 minutes. So I think that this is the perfect opportunity for the woman who hasn't been screened in a while or who has never been screened before to make your way to the conference that day and make it an obligation. I mean, just like Cynthia just said, there are so many people out there who have never been screened, or maybe it's been a few years. I mean, use this day as the opportunity to do that.
And for, because I'm typing this as we're going along, and make the net you do for yourself. This has, doesn't really have to be anything for anybody else. It's for you. It's for you to know. You should know your status. I think that should be. And Steve Harvey had on it was on his show, but they were doing a strawberry letter, and the young lady wrote into them explaining how she contracted HIV, or I don't know if it was HIV or if she had full blown AIDS, but you can't trust anybody else, but you can trust you. And so
that's
need to make sure that you know who you are, and not just HIV and AIDS, because you may not have that, but there are other sexually transmitted
STIs,
diseases that just stay dormant. Like they could be in your body for years. You're walking around, especially if you're engaging in a sexual relationship, unprotected all the way around, females and males alike, and you're just engaging, and you could be affecting other people, and you not even realize it. I mean, there was an article about Usher. I don't think any of us would have thought that Usher had herpes, but he does, and apparently transmitted it to someone else. So we need to be very mindful that there are diseases that if we are not making sure that we are correct, we could be mm-hmm. harming somebody, intentional or unintentional. Because some people do it intentionally and some people do it unintentionally. But in any case, you have the opportunity on September the 19th to find out your status, and you really need to make sure that you know what that is for nobody else other than yourself.
For yourself. And it's free. It is absolutely free. You get your results within 20 minutes. And we will even give you a copy of your results on a sheet of paper just in case you need to keep it for your records or if you need to take it back and show your partner. We will give you a copy of those results. We also provide STI screenings, but we won't do it that day. We can do a referral for you to come back to our office if that's something that, you know, any of the women are interested in the future. But I like the fact that you said, you know, do it for yourself. We're the advocates of our own health. So when it comes to these screenings, don't look to prove anything to anyone. It's you're doing it for yourself.
Because honestly, we need to, as women, especially as women, as the caretakers, I say it all the time, women are the womb of God. Is you have to be very careful what you allow into you, because what you allow into you eventually comes out of you one way or another. And so if we are not making sure that we are cleansing ourselves from whatever it may be, if we're allowing impure thoughts, mindsets, allowing ourselves to feed on things that are not clean, that are not really to elevate us, we will find ourselves in situations where we will be left, in a sense, left behind while we're watching other people live their lives, when we could honestly be living our lives if allowing ourselves to get caught and stuck. If you've never been if you've never taken an HIV or AIDS test, I will say this over and over again. You need to be ashamed of yourself. You need to get tested, and I say that for one reason and one reason only, because you do not know. You not knowing about you is a problem. And so you need to know you. You ain't got to know Johnny. You ain't got to know Bill. You ain't got to know Russell or Samantha or Deborah, but you definitely need to know you. And if you don't know your status, you are a problem.
And one of the workshops that we're going to have, because we find that a lot of people, the reason behind them not getting screened is out of fear. So one of the workshops, I'm going to have one of my colleagues come out and pretty much break down the statistics of, you know, the HIV rates within the state of New Jersey and within Essex County, being that it's being held in Essex County. And when you look at the rates amongst, you know, women of color, we're at the top of the scale, pretty much. So this is why it's very important for us to take care of ourselves and make sure that we're screened on 3 to 6 months if you are putting yourself at risk. And when I say putting yourself at risk, anyone who is in any type of sexual relationship, you're putting yourself at risk. So it's very important that you get screened every 3 to 6 months.
And I want to say this because I know a lot of people might get offended. And let me buffer this a little bit. I am a pastor, so I say this in love. I don't care if
pastor.
You're married. I do not care if you're married. You need to know your status. You could be, I'm married. I've been with my husband now for 16 years. I'm going to take my test when I get there, because as much as I've been with him and only him for 16 years, I had a life before I met my husband.
Yes.
I had a life. So I don't know. I don't know. I've known for a long time that it's always been negative, that I don't have it. But it's not to say that if I took that test come September the 19th, that it wouldn't come up positive. And I honestly can't sit there and be like, oh, my God, what happened? Because I had a life.
Yeah.
I did some
You're
stuff.
Right.
I had 5 kids. So I was unprotected sex. So there's the chance. And so we don't need to live in this little bubble that, oh, I got married. And if you got married and you were a virgin and your husband was a virgin, you know what? God bless you. I wish you the best. Not everybody can say that. A lot of us did not go into marriages with not having that as our prerequisite. We went into these marriages. We had previous relationships. Some of us had children. And so make sure you know your status. If it's been over a year that you have been tested, and some of you, you know, it's been more than a year, you need to get tested. And here's an opportunity where you don't have to come out of your pocket. You can get it done for free. You can know your results in a short period of time. And whether it shocks or doesn't shock you, you will know. Because I will tell you time and time again, if you don't know your status, you are the problem.
You definitely are the problem. And I like the fact that you just mentioned, you know, even people who are married need to be screened as well. And I find that to be one of the biggest excuses that I hear when it comes to screening certain people or even passing out condoms when we go out into the community. We'll hear a lot of people say, well, you know what, I don't need to take a test because I'm married. But believe it or not, one of the most memorable stories that I can remember about being in this field, a month into working in this field, I went to an event for National Latino AIDS Awareness Day, and there were a few mobile units parked outside, and one of the employees from another organization wanted to show one of her clients, you know, taking a test is not that bad, you know, it's very simple, 1, 2, 3. She went onto that mobile unit, and she didn't come back off because she was positive, and they kept her on because she was in such a state of shock. So I've always kept that, and that was, it's going to be 6 years now. That was 6 years ago, and to this day, I still remember the woman's face because she walked onto that mobile unit with so much confidence. Here it is, she's working in the field, and she's doing this to show one of her clients that, you know, it's not that big of a deal. This is something you can do. All you have to do is step onto this mobile unit, and you'll get your results within 20 minutes. And she comes back positive, and now she's in a state of shock because she's married and doesn't understand how she could have came back positive.
Right, right. And I think that it is so important that, and since it's an all-women's affair, I can't say men, but it is so important that women understand that if you had a life before him, or if he had a life before you, because there are some women, they wait till they get married, and then they marry this man, and this is the only man they've ever been with. They haven't been with anybody else. And then later on, they find out that they have HIV, they have AIDS, or they have some other sexually transmitted disease, and they are astonished. And it's because maybe he had a life before he met you. I'm not saying your husband's cheating on you. That may not even be the case. It just might be it was laying dormant. We have to realize that a lot of diseases just don't pop up the same day you get it. It lies dormant. And so you cannot sit and go, oh, I took a test 5 years ago, girl, and it came out negative. You don't know. It's been 5 years.
You're right.
Go and take another test. Go take another test. If it was negative then, it'll probably be negative now. But knowing your status protects not just you, it protects everybody else around you.
Around you, yes. You are absolutely right.
So I'm happy about that. I am so happy that there will be units there for people to get tested, and also that they could possibly, if they want to do something else as far as the other STDs, that they can go and get a referral.
Yes.
And what else does the foundation do? Because I don't know a lot about the foundation. So could you give us like a brief overview of what the foundation does within? And I know you do the AIDS testing, and I also know that you work with young people and you work with women. Do you also work with men?
Yes, we work with men as well. So this is specifically the prevention department that I've been talking about because that's the area that I work in. So we have 7 regional offices. We have 1 office in Newark. We have 2 offices in the city of Jersey City. One is our drop-in center, which deals specifically with our clients who come in and get syringes. So we provide clean syringes to them to prevent them from being infected with HIV. And a lot of people, you know, look at that as, you know, we're supporting a habit, but at the same time, we're giving them clean needles. That way they're not sharing needles with other people and putting themselves at risk. So that's what we do. And we also provide a place for them to come in, take a shower, wash their clothes, get something to eat. If they need to sit down and clear their minds, watch television, speak to a counselor, all of that is available to them there. We also have our drop-in center, for the youth in Jersey City as well. We have an office in the city of Patterson. We have an office in the city of New Brunswick. We have one in Plainfield, and we also have one in Trenton. And NORC, the office that I work in, we have the prevention department, which screens people for HIV. We have services for people who are living with the HIV virus, as well as people who we consider to be high-risk negative. So you're not infected with the HIV virus. However, you're engaging in behaviors that may put you at risk for contracting the virus. So we help counsel them and give them risk reduction plans in order to lower their risk in contracting the virus. We also have a PrEP counselor on site. I'm not sure if many people are aware of PrEP. It's still fairly new, pre-exposure prophylaxis, and basically that's a way to prevent anyone who may be, I don't want to say promiscuous, maybe you're putting yourself at risk. Let me not use the word promiscuous. Anyone who is putting themselves at risk and does not want to change that behavior, we speak to them about PrEP, which is basically taking a pill a day to prevent themselves from becoming infected with the virus. So we have a counselor on site that speaks to them about that and counsels them on the side effects of taking that pill, as well as what needs to happen on a daily basis while being on that medication. We have our legal advocate on site. We call him our lawyer. He's not a lawyer, but, I mean, he might as well be. This man is well-equipped in his area, and he knows a lot. He's the expert in the office. So he helps a lot of our clients when it comes to especially cases with their landlords. A lot of our clients have issues where once their landlords find out about their statuses, sometimes it's an issue. So our legal advocate helps out with that. We have our housing specialist who helps a lot of our clients get placed into homes as well as shelters if they're having difficulties in that area. We have our medical case manager who works with our clients who are HIV positive, and she makes sure that they're attending their doctor's appointments on a weekly basis. She makes sure that they're getting their prescriptions filled in order to take their medication, and she also does home visits if necessary. We have a nurse on site who, well, a doctor. She's a nurse practitioner slash she's going for her doctorate. So she's on site, and most of our clients come in to see her on a weekly basis. I'm trying to think what other services I'm missing out. We also have our corrections department who works with clients who are just coming out of prison and who are becoming reacclimated into the society, get them jobs and to get placements into homes as well. So we kind of help with everything, men, women, old, young, I shouldn't say old, seasoned, young. We help everyone. Anyone that comes in and needs assistance, if we don't have what you need in our office, we're making phone calls, we're giving referrals. We don't let anyone leave out of the office without getting what they need. You may not get it at that moment, but we'll give you the referral to get that assistance.
That's wonderful. That is so wonderful. And I think that if you are listening, or maybe you'll listen to the rebroadcast, because I will put this out as a rebroadcast, if you know anybody who's never been tested, I know that a lot of people don't really like to talk about it. Like I said, I mean, I'm putting this out there because I'm a pastor, but I'm a pastor that lives in the real world. And in the real world, we have a lot of people who are dealing with this issue. I believe the stats is, and I could be wrong, but one out of three people HIV or AIDS. Am I wrong? Am I right with that number?
Correct. And within the state of New Jersey, there are currently 38,000 people living with the HIV virus, approximately 38,000. So I know that I was talking to one of my friends earlier, and I mentioned that, and he goes, you know, well, it's bad, but it's not that bad because there are a lot of people living in New Jersey. But that's still a high number to me. And living in the state of New Jersey and hearing that bothers me a little bit. And those are only the reported cases. So just imagine the people
right.
are, you know, walking around and haven't been screened and don't know that they're living with this virus. Those are only the reported cases. So the number is way higher than 38,000. They just haven't gone to take their tests.
Absolutely. And so I don't want to leave it on that note because what we were talking about was the conference, but
the conference,
because you
yes.
do deal with
I'm
this.
HIV and AIDS. I enjoy this work and saving lives and helping people to know their statuses.
I want everybody to know that I will always advocate this. Those of you who know, my friend Tanja Lewis has her own foundation. I have been a part of that foundation for years that deals with HIV and AIDS. So you know that I am a strong advocate for you being tested. If a woman's with me and she's never been tested, and when we went to the I went to one of her events, a friend of mine had never been tested. I told her, get up and go get tested. And she's like, oh, I haven't been with anybody. I said, who said you had to get it that way? I think too many people think it's sexually transmitted. It's not just sexually transmitted.
It's not.
You can catch AIDS. So let's stop playing that little game. Where I can get it is if I have sex. No, you can get it other ways, too. If you ever had a blood transfusion, I've had one. So, yes, somebody's blood could have been tainted, and then it's tainted. So you just don't know. So don't go with the it only could happen if, you know, sexually transmitted. Or, oh, I've seen all my ex-boyfriends, and they all look healthy. What does that mean? It's not the answer. The answer is get tested so you don't have to do the guessing game.
You're absolutely right. But going back to the conference, Cynthia, I'm
yes.
very excited. I know we only spoke about the workshops, but there are going to be some amazing raffles at this conference as well. So every woman that comes in upon registration is going to get a bag that they get to take home with them. Inside of that bag will be some goodies. I'm not going to put it out there. You have to come out to see for yourself. I love free stuff, yes. So each woman will get a goodie bag with some free stuff inside, and they will also get one raffle ticket. I'm thinking about being generous and giving more than one since we're going to have several vendors there. And they will have the opportunity to walk around to each vendor to see what the vendors have available. And what I asked of each vendor, instead of charging them a vendor's fee, I asked if they can each donate one of their products for me to raffle off to the women who are in attendance. So we're going to have jewelry. We're going to have boots. We're going to have makeup. We're going to have clothes. We're going to have bags. Ugh, it's going to be so many things there. I may try to sneak in a raffle ticket, too. If you guys see my number, just keep your mouth shut. But I think there are going to be so many wonderful prizes there, and I'm excited. I know the women are going to really enjoy themselves. I made sure that I got the best of the best when it came to the women who are doing these workshops, and I just wish that I could sit in on each one of them, but I'm going to make sure that I bounce in, even if it's just for 5 minutes per workshop, just to, you know, keep an ear in to pick out what I can from each workshop. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see a lot of new faces, meet people, hear a few stories, and get feedback. once the event is over, I would like to, I'm not going to have the opportunity to speak to every single woman, but I really want feedback on the experience that each woman got from that day. And hopefully it's something that I would do again next year. Who knows?
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. And I think that, like I said before when I started this, I think it's a wonderful thing. I can honestly say, I know people say, oh, enough with conferences. I don't think so. I think that, especially in the church, because we do it so much in the church, but I think that when you can get outside of that, when you can actually get out into the neighborhood, that you're, I mean, the church is supposed to be the hospital. Well, maybe they're not coming to our hospital, but we can go to their sick beds. And their sick beds may not necessarily be, you know, inside of a hospital. It might be outside on the street. And so we have to go where they are sometimes to bring them where they need to be. And so this, to me, is a wonderful opportunity. And I like the fact that you guys are going to go out ahead of time, allow the women to know about it so they know to come on in, and that there won't be this thing of, oh, my gosh, should we go in? I don't know. Who are these people? It'll be a thing of, oh, they came around. They gave out flyers. Let's go. Because sometimes people won't come. Even if you're standing out there and you're going, you can come in, they won't come because they don't feel like they're really welcomed because you waited till last minute to say something to them. But if you go out ahead of time and just let them know, we want you to come. This is for you. This isn't, you know, it's not for, you know, the other, it's for you. We really want you to come. We want to invite you. We want you to come in. We want you to participate. We want you to leave with some hope. As a former single mother on welfare, I will, and I will say this for the rest of my life, if it wasn't for the Hope Foundation in Hillside, I don't know if I would have had hope, but they gave me hope by opening up their doors and saying, yeah, you're a single mother, yes, you had kids out of wedlock, like, yes, you're a teenager, but we're going to get past all that. We're past all that already. Yeah. That's not your story. That's a part of your story. That's not your story. And some of these women need to understand that, yes, you may be on the street right now. Yes, you may be prostituting right now. Yes, you may have HIV. Yes, you have low self-esteem. Yes, you need some. That's not your story. It's a part of it. Walk out the rest of it. This conference to all the women, and to those of you who know women, like maybe you're working, but you have somebody that you know that can come spend at least part of the day. Maybe they can't come all day, but they can come part of the day. Maybe you know somebody, and maybe they don't know about it, but you know about it. And so you pass the word around, and you can come. You can come. You can come. And so just to pass the word around, because I think it's needful. I think we need to, I will honestly say this, come up out of the church and start going places where maybe we don't feel necessarily comfortable, but we need to get uncomfortable. Get uncomfortable and then get comfortable in your uncomfortability.
There will be a few things that we are going to hear that day that we may be uncomfortable with. And it's okay to be uncomfortable. You know, when you're uncomfortable, that's when you're growing. So I want everyone to come with an open mind and just take in and, you know, expect to grow from this conference as well. Like that's my goal, for everyone to come in, take something out of it and grow from it. So I'm really looking forward to seeing you all, even if you can just come out for an hour, if you have to sneak out during your lunch break, if you have to take an extended lunch, or if you have to play hooky, just come out. And I apologize that I know a lot of my girlfriends have been asking me, why did I choose to do it on a Tuesday? Because it's difficult for them to leave out of work and to make it. And I apologize. If I do this again, I will look into doing it on a weekend. That way I can have, you know, the working woman who cannot take the day off come out. But I really feel that a lot of the women who I'm trying to target, especially within that area, are women who aren't doing anything during the day and they just need a positive space. So I'm trying to get them off of the streets for that time and into a place where they're going to come in, sit in, learn, and be around positive people.
Well, I'm excited. The show's going to wrap up, but that's okay. I'm excited, and I am looking forward to it, not just as someone who's participating, but actually to be involved as far as actually hoping to sit in and listen to other people, listen to the phenomenal women on the panel, be a part of that, to be able to see the women who will be coming in and hopefully be a light to the two women who honestly may not have a light at this moment because everybody's not shining. So I just, for me, hope that this will be a shining light for them and that they find out that there is hope, there's a place they can go, there is information out there, and that everybody's not looking down on you, but that we're actually having our hands extended to you to say we're here to help you get up. So I am so grateful, Stephanie, for you being on the show. I really appreciate it. I thank you for taking the time. I know you had a class today, but thank you for taking the time to talk about this wonderful event that's going to take place on Tuesday, September the 19th. It will be from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It is called the Steps Towards Becoming a Phenomenal Woman Women's Conference. Please go on Eventbrite. It is a free conference, but you can still register. You don't have to wait to register the day of. You can actually register ahead of time. I'm going to put up all the contact information and everything so that it will be out there on Facebook, and I'm going to keep posting this every day, September the 19th. So I'm excited. Did you have any last words?
Yes. To register, go on to tinyurl.com/phenomenalwoman2017. I know that's a mouthful, but as Cynthia said, she's going to post it. Please register in advance. Spread the word. I am looking forward to seeing all of your beautiful faces. And have a blessed night. Thank you so much for having me, Cynthia.
No problem. And you have a good night. I'm looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks. And to everyone who's listening, and for those who will listen to the rebroadcast, thank you so much for listening. Pass this information on. It's timely and necessary. We want to make some phenomenal women, and you can be one too. God bless you. Have a good night.
Have a good night. Thank you.